Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Faith in Public Life is an interdenominational gathering. The group brings author William Paul Young to the state on October 2nd. Joining us now with more in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls, Father Chuck Simple and Reverend Christine Swenson O'Hara. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks
good to be here.
Us.
Now, you were listening. We're all sitting here listening to William Paul Young tell stories. That was pretty remarkable. Conversation. Whose idea was it to bring him to the state of South Dakota? Where did that originate from?
Well, it really originated from one of our members that was going to a workshop and kind of a gathering of people in Arizona, and she just happened to fall upon it and heard him speak, and then came back to our group and was so excited about it and wanted to see what the possibilities was, because we were doing this through this grant to that we got about working with relationships and dealing with loving everybody, no exceptions. And so this seemed to fit right into the theme that we were working with this year.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the group itself and the work that you do. But before we leave William Paul Young, some of the things that he was saying that really resonated and that you think will resonate with South Dakotans, Christine?
Well, just his talking about how relationships are so key for us, and that so many of us are dealing with so much pain in our life, we can't even love ourselves, let alone love our neighbor. And so, I mean, I think what I really connected to with what he was saying is that we need to go into the center of our own pain to be able to love and forgive ourselves so that we can start to see love in others around us.
Why is that? Why can we not eat? Why are we struggling to love ourselves so much?
Well, I think it is hard. I think sometimes we've been taught that that's selfish, and that that self-focus maybe is seen as something as unhealthy. But I think unless we really receive the love of God into our own self and let that soak in, we're not going to have the love to give to anyone else. He says, you know, that we, I think he just said that we can't give anything that we haven't received. Mm-hmm. So if we haven't truly received the love and the forgiveness with our relation, in our relationship with our Creator, we can't begin to be able to be open to that in our relationships with others, especially those who might seem strange or very other from us.
We're talking with Father Chuck Simple and Reverend Christina Swenson O'Hara about the South Dakota Faith in Public Life group. They've got a gathering, an event coming up where the author of The Shack, William Paul Young, comes to the Sioux Falls Convention Center on October 2nd. Tell me about the process of finding out which question you're going to explore this year, and walk me through how what happens next.
Well, we do have a process for that. We usually, every member has a chance to present with himself or herself or with a couple of people things that they would like us to center on. So we have various proposals, and then we take the proposals of the people that are on our group, as Christina said, and then we vote on which one we're going to try to tackle for that year.
What have some of the past topics been?
We've talked about gun violence and gun control. We've talked about health care and whether health care is a right or a privilege. What are our responsibilities in the health care questions? We've talked about Islamophobia, our fear of the other.
And our last was with the issue. It came up with payday loans.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
We did we studied both sides of the issue, had people come in that were very much in favor of the payday loans because they thought it was giving an opportunity for people that couldn't find credit or means otherwise, and then those that, of course, were influenced with it pretty in a harmful way because they were getting into a spiral of so much interest to be paid.
So you pick only the safe topics.
Right.
Yeah, yeah right. Yes. Yeah.
It is, you sit back and say, we just don't want to have too much to think about to stir too big of a controversy.
And we try to hear both, you know, various sides of the issue to investigate more deeply into the issue. Each of us are on our own, and then we come together and share what we've learned and seek to find some common ground, even if we disagree on the issue. issue that we who are from different denominations and different faiths can come together to model that civil dialogue around those things that we agree on.
All right. So what are both sides of Islamophobia? What were some of the things that you learned about that that helped you understand? I'm not even sure I really even like that word.
Right. But I wasn't in on that year.
Well, I think what we found out is because just like with most things, there's a lot of stereotypical things that we think about, whether they be Muslim, Jew, or Christian, or whatever, from both sides of the issue. And it was interesting when we got into contact with, of course, the Muslim community and actually went over to the Muslim Center, visited with the people. I think the things that were both sides probably were be that some people have this idea that most Muslims are not very, from the Christian point or Jewish point, probably not very nice people because if they hear of all the terrorist attacks and people that are angry and things like that. And, of course, the whole issue of the holy wars and all sorts of things like that that come up. And so it was mainly probably breaking down stereotypical feelings that people might have. And as Christina said, when we get to meet a person and talk to a person and get there, what the Quran is really saying, what we're trying to understand in it is a lot different than what sometimes people's perceptions are of that.
Do you feel like you're gaining traction on some of these issues? Do you feel like the conversation spreads beyond, you know, just a conversation between the three of us wider throughout the state?
That's
Does
the
it
hope.
Feel
that's
like that?
Certainly that's the hope. You know, someone pushed me on this when another member of the group and I were doing a presentation at the public library about a month ago. And the topic was, you know, how to combat hate crimes. And someone asked, well, what is your faith in public life really doing? And I said, well, maybe we're just a little drop in the bucket. But a little drop in the bucket can have really wide ripples. So even if it's just us building relationships with one another across differences, that's a start. And that is going to have a ripple effect as our relationships affect other relationships that we have, as our experience with civil conversation across differences then maybe allows us to teach others how to do the same, whether it's in our congregations or in our families or in the wider community. So we've had some opportunities like doing that presentation at the library where there were probably a good 60 people there in the room having the conversation of how do we build relationships across differences. And so the mayor was there and someone from his office that said, well, let's have a potluck. Why don't we have a potluck so people of different backgrounds can get together? And is it Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. So it's actually going to be tonight, I think, that they're going to actually have a potluck at City Hall with people bringing dishes from all over the world to talk about building relationship across differences. So there's the way that a little, like one little conversation can have a ripple effect and cause some positive action in the community.
We have invited to the legislatures, people in the legislature from both the Senate and Representative in South Dakota to come to some of our meetings and meet with them on the issues too, just to hear where they're coming from. We did that with the gun control issue. And we have had a pretty good inviting people even to the Islamic Center to talk to people there, the people from the city. And it was amazing. They heard, they were just interested in what's really happening there. And from what we understand, a number of both Sanford and McKinnon have, Avera have Muslim doctors that sometimes didn't stay in South Dakota or Sioux Falls very long because they just never felt welcome here. And we think we have made at least a niche in making them feel welcome, and many more are feeling that they can stay in our state and help us with our medical things because they feel more part of our community and more with us than something against us or we against them.
So this is the love your neighbor, no exceptions? Is that, am I saying that right?
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
Who's my neighbor? That's the biblical question, right? Who is my neighbor?
Yes.
How do you when you phrase that question?
Yeah, well, it was interesting when Jesus was asked that very question. What did he do? He told a story, you know, and he told a story about what would have been farthest from the mind of the person he was talking to. He was talking to an upright Jewish male who was part of a religious establishment, and he told the story about a Samaritan who was, you know, going to be the farthest from what he would have considered his neighbor. And then he told the story of the way that that other, that stranger, that, you know, enemy even, cared for a Jewish man who was left beat and dying in the road, and went above and beyond his duty to care for the person who probably hated him. And so, I mean, if we think in our mind, who is the one who I would least likely talk to? Who's the one who I really carry some really deep resentment towards? Who's the one who I don't really know, but I really don't want to know? Maybe that's our neighbor.
I think it's probably a little bit too what Paul Young mentioned in the brokenness of the world where Jesus entered, which is, we can still say, is pretty broken today, that it was Jesus who showed a God who loved even amidst all the brokenness. And so even amidst the diversity, the Lord seemed to point out the love was there, even for those that many would have said were unlovable or we shouldn't love them.
Mm-hmm. The opposite of this is the hate crime or the hate speech, or or are you seeing that in South Dakota? Is there something specific that is there a specific reason? We've just really got about a minute left, but let's close with, is there a specific reason why you chose this topic for this year, or was it just time?
There's a lot of rhetoric going around, particularly in the political realm, you know, in the realm of social media, where we are maybe becoming more separate from one another, entrenched in our own position and unwilling to hear the other's position. So I think that was really what pushed us to consider who is our neighbor and how can we help broaden that definition of who is our neighbor.
Yes, I think it was just with the climate we're in, and I don't think most people right now would evaluate it's getting any better. So I think it was just we saw a need that we really like to do something to make a positive influence within this divisive nature that we're in right now.
We're talking about South Dakota Faith in Public Life. You can find them online. Do you know the website? SD Faith in Public Life?
Yeah, South Dakota Faith in Public Life. And we're also on, at least we have Facebook, a page for the Love Your Neighbor, No Exceptions.
All right. And you can see author William Paul Young on October 2nd. That's for a free will offering at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. My guests, Father Chuck Simple, Reverend Christina Swenson O'Hara. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.